stand in tonight with our Bibles open to the Gospel according to Matthew once again in chapter number 4. The Gospel according to Matthew and chapter number 4. In that wonderful book, first book of the New Testament. Matthew's Gospel in chapter number 4. You know, they call them the four Gospels. And the reason they call them that is because in those Gospels, we read a lot about the Lord's death on the cross for you and I. But really, the gospel is in all the books of the Bible. Isaiah 53 is one of the greatest chapters in all the Bible as far as the gospel is concerned. They do contain within them the gospel of the Lord Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, and tells about it. So they call them the four gospels. Matthew's gospel in chapter number 4. Did I turn this thing on? I want to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your grace, your love tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the songs that we've been able to sing and lift our voices up to thee to give praise to your wonderful person, who you are and what you've done. We're grateful and thankful for that. We bless you tonight, Lord, for your watch care over us. And the mercy that's been shown in your redemption, we ask you now to bless the preaching of the Word of God. I pray for that fresh power, that anointing, that unction of the Holy Spirit of God. Enable me, Lord, I pray, to be a blessing and a help to your people. Touch every heart, save sinners, help those that are sick. Give grace to those that stand in need tonight. May your name be glorified above all. Help those that are traveling. Bless them, I pray. Help us tonight here in the house of God. Without you, Lord, we can do nothing. So I pray that you'll move on every heart and bless us as only Christ can. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know how you are. I'm a little warm up here, but how about at least turning on the fans if somebody would do that? The young lady's already got that taken care of. That might help out just a little bit. Brother Hall's just a little warm up here. So I want to turn those fans on. I want to continue our thought tonight, preaching on the Christian's greatest weapon, which is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And I don't have time to fully recap the morning hour, but I'll simply say that our Lord here has been led of the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted. And he, knowing in his own heart that the devil is no match for him. And he certainly wasn't. That proved to be very, very true. But he was tempted. The Bible said, in fact, the Lord was tempted on all points as we are, and yet he was without sin. But he was led of the Spirit. It was of the Lord's doing that our Lord was tempted in such a manner. And he was there 40 days and 40 nights without food. He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. 40 is a time of testing and trial. And after those 40 days, while the devil came to him, of course, and made that first temptation, asking him, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He knew he was hungry, and he played upon his humanity. If thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. But the Lord replied, it is written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. From then the devil proceeded to take him up to the city of Jerusalem, I believe, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and again suggested that he presume upon God, cast thyself down, for he is commanded to give his angels charge concerning thee, he said. And if they'll bear you up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And the Lord said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And one more time, the devil took him up to a high mountain and stretched all the kingdoms of the world out before him and gave him a promise that he wasn't able to fulfill. He said, all these will I give thee. Well, to begin with, they wasn't his to give. He didn't have the power to do that. But he said, all these will I give thee if you will fall down and worship me. And again, the Lord said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he drove the devil from him, and angels came and ministered to the Lord. And repeatedly there, our Lord used the Word of God as his defense. He used it as a weapon against the devil. And certainly he set an example there for you and I to follow. If the Lord used the Word, which he was the living Word of God, is the living Word of God, and if he used the Word of God, then I think you and I would be very wise to use it ourselves. He resorted to nothing but the Word of God, absolutely nothing but the Word of God. And on every occasion, he put the devil to flight, put him to shame, and then put him to flight. And you and I can do the same. Likewise, we can overcome and defeat the devil by using God's Word. It's a great weapon that God's given you and I. It is the sword of the Spirit, and God's given it to you and I to war against the devil and against our adversaries, all the little imps of hell. Now, I ended up this morning, and I want to begin right in where I left off and just plunge in and start preaching. That's all I know to do, and is just to plunge in and begin, because you know the background of what I preached on this morning. But I want to say that our Savior here continues to use his one defense, although his adversary, the devil, shifted his point of attack. He didn't just attack in one particular place in the life of the Lord. The devil tempted him first to distrust God. When he made the statement, he said, turn these stones into bread. But in doing that, he said, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And in doing that, he done his best to cause the Lord to show distrust in God the Father. And, you know, he'll do you and I the same way. And I'm going to get to these ifs in just a moment. But he'll do you and I in the same manner. He doesn't want us to trust God for anything. He doesn't want a sinner to trust God for salvation. He doesn't want you and I that are saved to trust the Lord for the blessings of life, for his watch care, his protection, provisions, or anything else. He wants, as Brother George said, he wants us to grumble and complain when we're tried and tempted and so forth. He does his best to do that. And so the devil tempted our Lord to distrust in the Father when he said, turn these stones into bread. But the Lord's response was, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And how true that is. And I didn't say this in the morning hour, but I will say it tonight. God has given us a book. It's called the Bible. And that book has got 66 books within that book. And each one of them separate from themselves and yet canonized together. They make up one book, the Bible, and God's holy, infallible Word. And God has given us that. And it is that Word that you and I are to have an appetite for, and that it is that Word that gives us life. Man shall not what? Live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. The Lord here is telling the devil, man does not live just a physical life. Thank God for our life He gives us in the flesh that we live. But like Paul, we ought to say the life we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. And certainly we live according to in the flesh, but we got a spiritual life. And that life must be lived by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've never counted. There's some men can tell you how many words is in the Bible. I really have never stopped to take time to count them, but there's a whole lot of them. But the statement there is, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And man lives on that. And so he wanted the Lord to distrust him, distrust the Father. And He wants you and I to do the same thing. He don't want us to trust Him for anything. You know, He don't want you to trust Him to see your family saved. Amen. Devil will do everything he can to discourage you and to cause you to doubt the power and the blessings of God upon your life. He'll cause you to doubt the fact that God has the ability to save your family. But I believe I read in the book of Genesis, in fact, read it just yesterday, where when Noah built that ark, the Lord from the inside invited Noah in, and Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Mrs. Noah, and Mrs. Shem, and Mrs. Ham, and Mrs. Japheth, all went into that ark. In other words, that whole family got inside the ark. Now, don't tell me that God cannot save your family. I know better than that. The devil will try to tell you that it's an impossibility, that some of them are too deep in sin, some of them too far away from God, some of them will never come to the house of God. You'll never convince them. You won't convince them. But I'll tell you what can happen if you'll sow the seed of the Word of God in their heart. I'll tell you who can convince them, and that is the Holy Ghost of God. Don't you ever let the devil tell you or cause you to doubt about your family. God loves your family, concerned about your family, and wants your family to be saved. What did He tell that Philippian jailer? He told that Philippian jailer the same thing. That night that Philippian jailer got saved, him and all of his house was baptized. Somebody said, Brother Hall, you sound like you believe in household salvation. Well, I'm not far from it, I'll be quite honest with you. I believe when God gets to working in a family, I believe God has the power to save that family. Amen, I really do. But the devil will try his best to cause you to distrust or to doubt and discourage you in what God is able to do for you. I want to say, secondly, the enemy also not only tempted the Lord to distrust, but the enemy also aimed a blow at Him from the side of presumption. And I mentioned that this morning, in tempting Him to cast Himself down from the temple. But again, that two-edged sword fell once again upon the head of Satan. And the Lord made the statement, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And folks, we ought never to tempt God. You know how we tempt God? We tempt God by availing ourselves to some stupid thing and then telling God, if you're God, you can deliver me from this. We don't do that. We refrain ourselves from all manner of sin, and we don't put ourselves in a situation or a place where we can tempt God. We'll presume upon the Lord if we're not careful. That is, we'll believe that God, we'll trust God to do something that God has already said that He's not going to do. As I said in the morning hour, like those Israelites that went up the mountain and went into the land of Canaan after God had told them not to go. Moses told them not to go. They went anyway, and they met with defeat. Now, any time we presume upon the Lord, any time we tempt God, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to wind up with defeat. Do you know what Pharaoh and his army did when they tried to cross the Red Sea behind the Israelites? They tempted the Lord. The Lord had never told them to cross that sea. He told Moses and Israel to cross it, and they went across on dry land. But I'm going to tell you, the Egyptians are saying to do the same. The Bible said they were all drowned in the Red Sea, and I believe that to be the Bible. I believe that. And the reason being, they presumed upon God. And presuming upon God is doing something or trying to do something that God has not told us to do. Now, I'm not just bringing this up on account of Brother Doug. Don't misunderstand what God brought to my heart. But there's a lot of times preachers or missionaries will make up their mind that they're going somewhere and they're going to do a work for God in a particular place or this or that, when in reality, God's never told them to go there. And in doing that, they're presuming upon God. They're tempting God. They're putting themselves in a place. And why that becomes a temptation, why they tempt God in that way, is because they're living outside the will of God. You cannot live outside the will of God and have God's blessings in your life. God wants us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him, that we may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of the Lord. He's got a will. Now, I'm going to tell you, anytime we try to get outside that will for our lives, we're tempting God. We don't want to do that. Somebody say amen and help Brother Hall out. I want to say number three, that next blow, he changes his points of attack. And that next blow was leveled at our Lord with the intent to bring Him to His knee. He said, fall down and worship Me. He said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world if you'll just fall down and worship Me. But it was not met with a crushing blow. The Bible said, the Lord said once again, it is written. And He said, what was written was, thou shalt worship the Lord God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Now, I want to ask you something. Where does that leave all these false religions? Where does that leave all these cults that claim to have other gods? The Lord said, I'm God, and beside Me there is none else. And I'm telling you, friend, when men bow down to other gods, they're putting themselves in harm's way. You better believe that I'm telling you right. They're putting themselves in harm's way. Then I want to say again that the Lord teaches us what it was to put this word, it is written. What does it mean when we put that word, it is written? He used it to defend His sonship. Now I want to get into these, if you'll just bear with me now. He said, if thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God, He said, turn these stones into bread. Now, if you'll notice, the Lord did not call to mind the evidences to prove His sonship. Not one time did He try to prove to the devil that He was the Son of God. He did not mention the voice that echoed from heaven, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He never mentioned that one time. He only said, it is written. Now, I won't say that, hey, the devil, don't you think for one minute that if the devil tempted the Lord Jesus that way, he'll do you and I the same way. Are you really saved? Are you really a child of God? Have you really been born again? And you know what we'll do? We'll try to thwart the devil's temptations under our own power, and with our own words of philosophy, our ideology. It can't be done. I'm going to tell you, the best defense we have against the devil and his if thou be saved, if thou be a son of God, is by the word of God. I've told this story. Most of you probably heard it. But an old preacher years ago, and he retired from the ministry, probably got old and wore out about like I am, retired from the ministry. And he had preached for years and years. And his wife went into his bedroom one morning and found him sitting there on the edge of the bed, tears running down his face, and was just brokenhearted. And she asked him, honey, what is wrong? What's the problem? And he said, well, I'm just doubting my salvation. And she said, doubting your salvation? He said, said, "My," said, "look at all the promises. You've been saved so long, and look at the promises in the Bible." And said, "You've got the Word of God." Said, "Use that Bible against the devil." Well, it perked up and seemed to get all right. Weeks went by. She walked in that bedroom again and found him again with his head all bowed over the edge of the bed and hanging down. And she said, "Honey," said, "are you doubting your salvation again?" And he raised up with a smile on his face and said, "No, I'm not doubting the Word of God at all." And she asked, "Well, then, what are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I know that the devil is the prince of darkness. And I figured the darkest place in the room was under the bed. And if he's in here, that's probably where he's hiding at. So I just took John 3:16 and stuck it up and under his nose and said, 'Here is John 3:16. Take a look at this.'" And so what I'm saying is, just simple. When he says, if you're really saved, we have no defense other than the Word of God. My brother told me that just a short while before my daddy died, he had asked him to put Romans 10:13, "For whosoever," 10:9, "for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." My daddy wrote that on a piece of paper and hung it on the wall in the nursing home by my daddy's bed. And my brother said just a while before daddy went out to meet the Lord, said he turned and looked at that verse of scripture and he said, "You see that, devil?" Said, "God said it and I believe it." Now I'm going to tell you something, friends. That's it. God said it and we believe it. Our salvation is not based on anything else, not feelings, not facts, but on "thus saith the word of the God." And that's where it's at. And he will cause you to doubt your salvation. He'll say, "Yeah, are you really saved? Have you really been born again?" You know what he'll actually say? That if is Satan's darling word. If. Boy, it's just two words. If. By the way, I'll say this. A lot of people say two words, that two is a number of witness. But I'm going to tell you something. Two or three are witnesses. Two is a number of division. If, two letters. If thou be the Son of God. If you're really saved. If you're really saved. If you're really pardoned. If you're really justified. If you're really sanctified. If you're really been accepted by the Lord. If. Are you really the Son of God? If you are the Son of God. If you're the Son of God, why do you have all these carnal thoughts in your mind? If you're the Son of God, why do you see yourself sinful as what you see yourself when you read the Bible? If you're the Son of God. And I'm telling you, that is his darling word, is if. It's his favorite arrow in his quiver. Brother, he's got some arrows that he's going to shoot at us, and that word "if" is one of the greatest ones in the quiver. And I'm going to tell you why. It causes us to doubt. The devil wants you to doubt. You know what the opposite of doubting is? Faith. God doesn't want us to doubt. God wants us to have faith. And not just faith, but great faith. That's why the disciples asked the Lord, said, "Lord, increase our faith." The just shall live by faith, by the way. Amen. Not by sight, by faith. And if you read chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews, you'll find that everything that transpired in that chapter was done by faith. And it is. And we're going to have to live by faith. We're going to have to believe God for some things. Instead of doubting all the time, we're going to have to believe God for some things. Amen. We're champions at this. If we lose a little scrimmage with the devil, We're prone to let him use that word "if" the next time and cause us to doubt even more the next time. But I'm ready, well, not to do that. Hey, it is written. That's our weapon of warfare. It is written what that Bible has to say. You know, when the devil comes to me and says, "You know something? You're really not called to preach. You've never been called to preach." I tell him to go over to the book of Genesis and start out in Genesis chapter number 12 when Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees. That's my call, by the way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I can go back to that. My call, by the way, is not written on a piece of plywood. It's written on a piece of paper that's attached to a King James 1611 Bible And I don't have any doubt whatsoever about my call to salvation. I don't have any doubt whatsoever about my call to preach. None. I've never been troubled one time about my call to preach. I have been troubled about my salvation, but I have never one time ever been troubled about my call to preach the gospel of Christ. And I intend to keep on preaching the gospel until the Lord says it is enough. When He says it's enough, it'll be enough. But He'll call you to death. That word "ifs" is a little old darling word. It's one of His most famous words of mischief. It's designed to make us doubt and distrust the Lord. If thou be the Son of God, if thou wilt fall down and worship me, if thou wilt, if over and over again, if. Now I'm going to tell you that's a little word, but it means a whole lot. And I'm telling you, the devil will use it. He'll pull that arrow out of his quiver and use it against you and I. But I'm going to tell you, with a sword of the Spirit, we have a shield of faith and a sword of the Spirit. That shield is for defense. That sword of the Spirit is for offense. And I'm going to tell you, we can take them and whoop the devil, whoop the daylights out of him. Somebody say amen right there. Now, after all, you may be, the devil say, you may be deceived. Some says that the devil will say, you might be deceived. How do you know you're saved? Maybe you're deceived. I've dealt with people for years and years and years, and I'm telling you that is one of the biggest quirks that I get from people all along. Have I been deceived? How do you know you've been deceived? I'm going to tell you how you know whether you're deceived or whether you're not. It is written. Run to that Bible. It is written over and over and over again. I'm glad that He got up. I'm glad He died. I'm glad He got up the third day. Is Jesus really alive? Well, the Bible said He got up the third day. Is Jesus really in heaven? The Bible said He's seated at the right hand of God. Is Jesus really coming again? The Bible said that He's coming again in the clouds. Is He really coming back to the earth? Chapter 19 of the book of the Revelation says He's coming back on a white horse with a vesture dipped in blood. King of kings and Lord of lords, He's coming back on that white horse. And you and I are coming back behind Him. Hey, if. I hate to say this, but I'm going to. My daddy used to say if a toad had wings, he wouldn't bump his rear end when he hopped. That if will destroy you. The devil will use it to destroy you. Now, that's not that. Come on now. Come on. Come on. Devil use that to destroy you if he can. If. He don't want Brother Andy to trust God through this, or Miss Cheryl to trust God through this procedure. Oh, no. He don't want to trust Him at all. And I'm going to tell you what, it is written. You can go to "it is written" over and over and over again. Now, stay right with me. If you're saved, then why does your mind always entertain so many worldly and fleshly thoughts, the devil say? If you're really saved, why do you think the things that you do? What do you say? Why do you say the things that you say? Why are you so carnal in your life if you're really saved? I'm going to tell you why. We're saved on the inside, but we got a flesh on the outside that ain't quite made it yet, friend. Maybe you've arrived, but mine ain't got there yet. Now, this old flesh of mine is still just as dead in sin as what it ever was. But I'm thankful that I can say there's coming a glorious day when this old body that will be sown in corruption will be raised in incorruption. It'll be raised in a newness of life. Amen. And it will put on life and immortality, and death will be swallowed up in life. I believe the Word of God. Let the devil give me all the ifs he wants to. Hey, it is written in the Bible. And I could go many, many times over and over again. What about if I'm not saved because I don't feel happy all the time? Lord have mercy. You may feel happy now and feel miserable 30 minutes from now. I have before. In fact, I have felt happy and felt miserable 30 seconds from then. I'm not saved on those feelings. Can you say amen to that? But we're saved because the Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what it is. He wanted the Lord to distrust the Word of God, to distrust God. And he said, if. Now I want to say also that our Lord uses the word "it is written" for maintenance in His own spirit, or maintaining His own spirit. Somebody said, what do you mean His own spirit? I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about His spirit. Just like Brother George said up here tonight, sometimes we get ourselves in a place, we need an attitude adjustment. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you, this book will maintain a right spirit within us. Amen. Did not David say in Psalm 51, create a right spirit within me? He wasn't talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit ain't never been wrong to be created right. He's talking about His own spirit. Had drifted away from the Lord. And I'm telling you, the Lord uses it. It is written for maintaining His own spirit. Notice when the devil come to the Lord those three times, I never one time saw Jesus wringing His hands in despair. He was just as calm as a man could be. When the devil said, turn those stones into bread, He didn't begin to wring His hands and say, I wonder if I ought to do that. When He set Him on the pinnacle of the temple, He didn't sit there in fear, wondering what was going to happen. When He showed Him all the kingdoms of the world, He never worried about receiving that from the hand of the devil. He was calm. His spirit was calm. And I'm going to tell you something. We can use this Bible to calm our spirits. It's easy today to get our mind and our spirit in a turmoil. Nobody in here, I know there's nobody in here that's got any financial woes at all. And nobody in here at all is worried about the economy. The news keeps us abreast of that and tells us how wonderful everything is on that. Why should we worry about it? But in reality, we shouldn't worry about it. But I know that there's people in here that's concerned about their finances. They're concerned about their families. They're concerned about your livelihood. You may be like Paul, and you may be totally pressed. Paul said, I'm pressed out of measure. In other words, I'm pressed. I'm tightly squeezed, Paul said. I've had the squeeze put on me. But I'm telling you, but every time when the squeeze was put on the Lord, it is written. And He never one time did He ever get bent out of joint. You and I don't do that either, do we? We never holler at our wives, do we, men? We never slam doors, car doors. We don't do anything like that. We don't lose our temper. We don't lose our temper with our children. We're always cool, calm, and collected about everything. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying you'll never find one time here that our Lord ever lost His composure. All that's going on. I'm not talking about now some person with Him. I'm talking about the devil, D-E-V-I-L, himself. I'm talking about old Slewfoot, the anointed cherub. I'm talking about Satan himself looking our Lord eyeball to eyeball and tempting Him if, and the Lord not one time lost His composure over any of it. I'm going to say, you and I can be the same way. Somebody said, Brother Hall, that's something hard. I agree, it is a hard thing. There's no doubt about it. But oh, that Bible will lead us beside the still waters. Not rushing waters, but still waters. It'll cause us to lay down in green pastures. That Bible will lead us to a place of solace, near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest. Are you troubled by sin? Has the old devil aggravated your flesh and just rattled you until you're just about ready to lose it within yourself about sin in your life, there's a place that is near the heart of God that I promise you that you can stand on the eternal promises of this book that will calm your soul and your spirit and bring you to a place of real rest in the Lord. There's a place there. I'll assure you that. Yes, there is. Amen and amen. Now, we're not saved because we're happy or because we're miserable. We're saved because of what the Bible says. The Lord uses it. It is written for maintaining His own spirit. The Lord was calm. Notice He was in self-control. The devil couldn't control Him. He tried. Satan tried. And I know we're slow, but I don't have a choice. I mean, I just don't have a choice. He's in self-control. He never one time lost control of himself. Not once. You know why? He knew that it was written. And you and I can do the same thing. It is written. There's no need to get out of control. I'm going to tell you, I've let a few automobiles get out of control. Matter of fact, we've gone down the highway today and Miss Hall looked at me and said, "Honey, do you want me to drive?" I said, "I'm doing all right." About 2 minutes later, she said, "That's the second curb you went over. Do you want me to drive?" I said, "I'm doing fine, sweetheart." We got going down the parkway and she said, I drifted over the line and she said, "Honey, are you sure you don't want me to drive?" I said, "Honey, the wind's blowing from the wrong direction. I'm doing great. Don't worry about it." The fact of the matter was, I don't know whether I was in full control of that automobile. Apparently I wasn't. And sometimes we get out of control, we lose control of ourselves. But I'm going to tell you, there's some promises in that Bible that we call the King James Bible, ladies and gentlemen, that will help us to regain the control and composure of our own spirit and help us in that time of need and that crisis in our life if we'll just go to the Bible, not go to somebody else, not go to a neighbor, a friend, or somebody else, but go to the Word of God. I'm telling you, there's an answer to every question that you may have and every problem that may develop in you. In the Word of God, there's an answer for it. I promise you they are. I promise you they are. Now, nothing makes a man so comfortable in an emergency as leaning on the Word of God. Now, I want to say next, our Lord uses the words, "It is written," to vanquish the enemy and chase him away. In verse number 10, the Lord told him, said, "Get thee hence. Get away from me." And I'm going to tell you, you and I can do the same thing. That's right. Resist him. He'll flee from you. That's what the Lord did. Resist him. It doesn't say attack him. Resist him. The Lord didn't attack him. The Lord, hey, it wasn't time. Now, there was a few years down the road, there was another battle coming. Three and a half years down the road, there was going to be a battle fought on a place called Mount Calvary. And I guarantee it was there that our Lord would bruise His head. But it wasn't time for that attack right now. He just simply rebuked the devil in every situation. Now, our text also, the Lord teaches us how to handle this weapon. How to handle the Word of God. Now, I've got to hurry. We ought to use it with the deepest reverence. Let every word that God has written be law and gospel to you and I. Every word. Never trifle with the Word of God. There's a lot of men today written new Bibles. I'd be afraid to do that. I wouldn't want to put my hand to the King James Bible and try to rewrite it. That would worry me. And I'm not about to do that. No. Don't trifle with the Word of God. Don't try to make it say something that it don't. Just believe what it says. Somebody, I'll get to this in a moment. Somebody said, "Well, I don't understand what it says." You don't have to understand everything it says. All you have to do is believe what it says. That's all. God doesn't tell us to understand everything. He just says believe it. I want to ask you, when you got saved, did you believe everything in the Bible? I didn't and don't now. But I believe everything in the Bible because God said so. That's why I believe it. Now stay right with me. Never try to evade its force. That book is powerful. There's no need to try. When it says it searches the hearts and tries the reins, there ain't no need of you trying to hide sin from it. It'll find it out. You can't hide from its power. I'm satisfied in the book of the Revelation that men will hide in the caves and the dens of the rocks and will cry out for the rocks to fall on them and let them die. They'll try to run, but I'm going to tell you, they ain't going to find a hiding place. They'll try to hide from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne, but they'll find no hiding place. They cannot run from Him. Man cannot evade the force and the power and the authority that's in this book. You mark that down. If I'm speaking to anybody tonight, you've never been to Calvary, never been saved by the grace of God, I'm telling you that you cannot evade the force of this book and its authority that judges you and tells you that unless you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're going to die and go to hell. It's there. And it's going to happen. You can't avoid it. You can't evade it. It's there. It'll be there. I want to say also, have deep reverence for the Word of God. Never try to change its meaning. Man, I've been around guys. I've heard them say, yeah. And you've heard them say this. Well, the Bible says this, but here's the way I see it. You better watch them buts. Them buts is almost as bad as them ifs. And they'll get you in serious trouble. It's because you don't understand something. Don't start butting that Bible. Well, amen now. Come on now. Never try to change its meaning. You'd be amazed at the people. And I'm telling you, I've talked to people that's writing these Spanish Bibles now. And what they're trying to do is translate them from the old Spanish that was written, the Bible that was written in Spain. And they're trying to translate it from that and send it to Mexico. You can't do that. They're not the same language. Somebody said they're all Spanish. Yeah, they're Spanish, but it's kind of like going from Georgia to Michigan. A little difference there. You know what I'm saying? For instance, the word in the old Spanish in Spain, salud, means salvation. But in Mexican, salud means health. And they're putting salud in the Bible in places for salvation where the word salvation is used. You're not going to convince me that those Mexicans are going to look at that word salud and have any earthly idea that it means salvation. It don't mean it to them. Don't trifle with that book. Reverence this Bible. Leave the Bible alone. It's not made to be changed. It's made to be read. You know why it's not made to be changed? Because it is the written Word of God. Jesus is the living Word of God. And He said, I am the Lord, I change not, and therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And He said, I am the Lord, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He doesn't change, and neither does His Word. The Bible said that His Word is forever settled in heaven, and that it is. It's not changeable. Not going to change. And we oughtn't to try to change it. We oughtn't to endeavor to change it. Are you staying with me? May I say also how to handle this? Always have it ready. As soon as our Lord was attacked by Satan, he had his answer prepared. He said, it's good to have the scriptures at your fingers. But I'm going to tell you something else where it's better to have it. I'm glad I got it at my fingertips. Oh, thank God. I'm holding a copy. I've got it right here at my fingertip. But I'm going to tell you a better place to have it than that is in my heart. That's right. Hey, I will hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against God. I'm going to tell you, when the devil comes a knocking, you better have it in your heart. You can have it there all you want to, friend, but if you ain't got it in your heart, it's not going to avail a great deal in your life. We're fighting a battle for the heart of men. You're fighting a battle for your heart that belongs to the Lord. And the old devil's going to come knocking on it. He's going to come knocking on it. Are you listening to me? I hope so. The Lord, listen carefully. The Lord knew so much of the Holy Scriptures that out of one single book, He knew all the Scriptures of the Old Testament. But I never knew this until yesterday. But every answer that He gave the devil in that temptation in the wilderness came out of the book of Deuteronomy. Every one of them came out of the book of Deuteronomy. You know why I believe? You know why I think the Lord did that? I believe He was telling the devil, now if you want to continue this fight, I've got some more ammunition in reserve. I've got all I need. If you want to continue fighting, and so it is with you and I. It's inexhaustible. If He wants to pursue the fight and continue the battle, let Him do so. We've got the Word of God, and it's inexhaustible. It is written, ladies and gentlemen. He only used that which was written in the book of Deuteronomy. He obtained all the text which he was in the wilderness and fought that battle from the book of Deuteronomy. He had a wider range, for the Old Testament was all before him. But he kept the one book. To let Satan know that he was not short of ammunition. No, not short of ammunition. He had plenty. And if the devil chose to continue the temptation, the Lord had abundant defense in resources. He had a lot of it remaining. All the other Bible he had remaining. I won't mind telling you this. Hope you don't hold this against me. Brother Gray and I was at a gun shop a few weeks ago. They had a Remington 1911 45 pistol in there. Pearl Harbor commemorative. Boy, it was pretty. The boy had already bought it. It worked there. And he said, now, Brother Hall, I'm thinking about letting this, that I'm throwing layaway. And I'm thinking about letting it go back. If I do, I'll give you a call if you want to buy it. I said, give me a call. And so a few days later, the boy called me. And I went over there. He brought the gun out there. It is a beautiful gun. But you know the one reason I bought it? It's got one little inscription on it. And that's the only reason I bought the gun. It wasn't because I wanted necessarily a .45 caliber pistol. I've got some of them. But I wanted it because of what it said. It was a Pearl Harbor commemorative. And it said, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Hey, we can praise the Lord. Amen. And pass the ammunition, buddy. We got plenty of it right there. Go on, pass it around. We got plenty of it. Somebody say amen. I've already told my wife I bought it, so don't you guys get any ideas now. Endeavor also to understand the Word of God and its meaning. The devil can take a scripture, he can clip it and penknife it to pieces. He can penknife it, he can cut it away, he can add to it, and attack Christ with it. The Bible said in Psalm 106 and verse 7, the Bible said, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They didn't understand that book, the wonders that God had done in Egypt. And they didn't. They got off to a bad start. But God wants us to understand that Bible. You don't have to understand all of it, but He wants you to understand some of it. And you ought to pray for understanding. Ask God to give you understanding. Hey, the more you understand, and this is not a good illustration, but I'll use it. I don't know anything about electricity, okay? I know these lights in here are burning. If I turn off the right switches, they'll go out. And it'll shut off all the power to the lights that are burning that those switches come in contact with. But it won't stop the power. The power comes from up here, I guess, at Green River somewhere. Now, I don't know anything about how it gets down here and the operation of it and one thing or another. In other words, I don't know how to use electricity. But there are men. They know not only how to turn on the switch and the lights come on, but they know how to use electricity. They know how to wire the homes to make them run right. They know where the power comes from. They know how it operates, how it gets down here, why it gets down here, what makes it get. They know they can use it. In other words, they can use that electricity to their good. That's the same way with you and I. We ought to learn as much about that Bible as we can. We may not understand all of it, but the more of it we understand, the more we understand, the more we can use against the devil. And the less we understand, the less we're going to have to use against the devil. Amen and amen. Now learn how to appropriate scriptures to yourself. Apply them to your own self. Apply them to yourself. In other words, years ago, when I was getting ready to go to Tucson, Arizona, I was like all other missionaries. I thought you ought to have a travel trailer and a van to pull it behind. I wanted one. I started praying for one. I was at a missions conference one night and met this preacher who was getting ready to go back off furlough, and he had an old rattle-trap van and an old rattle-trap travel trailer. He was going to sell them to me, and I said, well, I'll let you know in so-and-so days if I want to buy it or not. Really, what I was going to do is go to the banker. But the Lord said, you need to talk to me about this before you go to the bank. I started praying, reading my Bible. And I got in the book of Psalms and was reading through the book of Psalms. And I read that verse where the Lord said, and he gave them their request, but he sent leanness to their soul. God said, you can have that old trailer and that van if you want it. But he said, it'll cost you something spiritually. And I got on the telephone and called that man. I said, I don't need the van, sir. I appreciate it, but you can keep the van and the travel trailer. I don't need it. Somebody said, what did you do, Brother Hall? I learned to appropriate. That verse didn't say one thing about a van. It didn't say one thing about a travel trailer. But it did tell me that he granted my request, but it would also send leanness to my soul. There's got to be an appropriation or an application made to the Bible to your own heart and life. You got to learn how to do that. It'll avail you nothing. Then once you do that, stand by it. Don't let the devil drive you one inch. Once you make a decision in life, stand by it. In that book, you don't have to budge an inch in that book. God tells you something in that Bible, stand by it. If he tells you, hey, it's like Brother I. McGowan used to say, if the Lord tells me to run my head through that wall, it's my responsibility to start running and God's responsibility to make a hole. Amen. That's right. And that's the way it is. Now, I want to say lastly tonight, I want you to remember at this time in the Lord's life that he was filled with the Spirit. Now, you're not going to get very far using the Word of God as a weapon of warfare without being filled with the Spirit. Am I right or wrong? And taking the what? Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Somebody said, Brother Holt doesn't say anything in Matthew about him being filled with the Spirit. I know it, but you've got to compare Scripture with Scripture. I'm going to tell you what it does say in Luke 4:1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted the devil. And he was there full of the Spirit of God. I want to say, church, we'll not get far. We'll not get far in defending ourselves with the Word of God unless we're filled with the Holy Ghost as well. There ain't not too many Baptists that's interested in that today. They're more interested in other things and little trivial things, one thing and another. But I'm going to tell you, it'd do us all well to ask God to fill us with the Spirit of God. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, if you get that way, I've heard preachers say, if you pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll turn into Pentecostal. I'm going to tell you, I've been praying for it all my Christian life, and I ain't turned into Pentecostal yet. And I've never spoken in tongues. God, the Lord understands my English very well. Even though it's corrupted, he understands it. You may not, but he does. You don't have to worry. You ask God to fill you with the Spirit of God. The more you're full of the Holy Ghost, the easier you're going to be able to use that Bible. It is written. It's the greatest weapon that we have today. It is written. The sword of the Spirit. The book that I'm holding before me. Let's stand together.